coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's two N's on Hagman. HagmanReport.com. Go there. Of course, you can get the video, the audio. And on audio, by the way, Spreaker. Go to Spreaker or iHeart or iTunes or whatever. We just passed 1.55 million hits to the last 30 days. So that's not bad if you do listen to this by way of Spreaker, iHeart, iTunes, cross-platform. All right, so there you go. Also on Rumble and Brighteon, please subscribe there as well. Rumble and Brighteon, please subscribe to our broadcast there, so you can bookmark and comment and such. All right, any comments that are objectionable in terms of language, in terms of just not adding to any kind of intellectual discourse, I will just rip out and shove down the poster's neck. All right. Now, a couple of things. Got an exciting program. I got an exciting, got a great, great program for you lined up today. Got an exciting week lined up for you. Folks, listen to this. Friday, in studio on Friday, is going to be Dr. Sherry Tenpenny along with, to Coach Dave Dobmeier, ptsalt.com. All right, both of them are going to be here in studio Friday. That's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Coach Dave Dobmeier. Can't wait for that. What else do we have here? Oh, Patreon meeting this Sunday. We want to make sure that despite the fact that this is a holiday weekend. Now, if the patrons have a problem with that, okay, let me know. Send an email to doug@hagmanreport.com if we have to push it off another week. Are we okay with that or what? Yeah. All right. Eric says, whatever. He's a good guy. So, so Patreon this Sunday, unless I hear from a lot of people saying, you know what, man, no, don't do it, over Labor Day weekend. And again, on Friday, Coach Dave Dobmeier and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny in studio. All right. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and people are looking at what is taking place as failures of our military, failures of our intelligence, failures of our military intelligence, failures of this, of our political system, failures of that. Okay. They're not failures. They are designed flaws. They are intentional. You know, I can't help but think, going back to 1984, G. Edward Griffin interviewing, of course, Yuri Bezmenov, a KGB agent stationed in India, and he defected in 1970 into the U.S. He went to the U.S. Embassy in Greece at that time, and he was given asylum in Canada. But in 1984, he gave that seminal interview to G. Edward Griffin. You can find it everywhere, including, I think, on John Moore's website. As well. And, you know, let me just kind of paraphrase from that interview where Bezmenov said, you know, the main emphasis of the KGB, and I would contend this is also the not just the Marxist, but the Maoist Marxist doctrine, is a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures. And active measures, remember, that was a big thing in terms of just a couple of years ago, active measures, people were using that phrase a lot, in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. And I think we are seeing psychological warfare on us right now. But it basically means he spoke that to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite the abundance of information, no one is able to come to any sensible conclusion in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. Okay? It's also called gaslighting. You know this, folks. You do know this. But let me just bump this up very quickly here. You know, the demoralization thing, that has occurred over the years, specifically with respect to our schools. Why that many years? Why 15 to 20 years that Yuri Bezmenov had stated? Because it's a minimum number of years required to educate one generation of students. It's about 15 to 20 years, really within the confines of two decades. So we've had that. The Maoist, Marxist, Leninist, whatever you want to call it, this ideology is being pumped into the students without being challenged or counterbalanced by basic values of the American way of life, by American values. Now, so even if you start, he said back then, even if you start right now educating a new generation of Americans, it's still going to take 15, 20 years to turn the tide of ideological perception. Now, hold the phone here, because this is where it really kind of, the rubber meets the road now. Most of the people who had adhered to the Maoist, Marxist, Leninist doctrine are in positions of power, especially now under the Biden regime, the inauthentic, the illegitimate Biden-Harris. Okay, you've got Mr. Marbles and Heels Up Ho-Harris, or Ho-Ho-Harris. Take the stick. Pretend it's a microphone. Never mind. Or pretend it's a popsicle, right? Willie Brown. All right, so, but even if you... did you bleep that? Oh, okay. Even if you prove that white is black, and or white is white and black is black, you can't change the basic perception. Now, this according to, again, Yuri Bezmenov, the illogical behavior of the person. So the demoralization process in the United States, that's a historical fact. All right. That's done. That's over with. That's been done. Now, then you've got, and again, quoting or citing or paraphrasing, I should say, Bezmenov, you've got the next stage, which is destabilization. And that's only a 2 to 5 year stint in order to get that accomplished. And what matters is essentials. For example, the economy, foreign relations, defense systems. Jeez, what are we seeing over in the destroyer of empires, Afghanistan? Right? No, we're just going to, you know, we're just going to get the bad actors of 9/11 and get out. We're not into nation building, right? 20 years later. You got this cluster over there. All right. So after this happens, this destabilization, and we've seen the destabilization, that part really take place. The next stage is a crisis, and it may only take 6 weeks really to bring a country to the verge of a crisis. We saw it in Central America back in the 80s. We saw a lot of things over the past couple of decades. And, the last period or the last section of this is normalization, which is a cynical, and it's also cyclical, but cynical expression borrowed from the Soviet propaganda when the Soviet tanks, I should say, moved into Czechoslovakia. Gosh, I hope I'm right on that. Let me check here. 1968. I am. Okay. Brezhnev said, now, brother, Czechoslovakia is normalized. So this is what's going to be happening here in the United States. And if you don't believe that, listen to this call. We have John Moore with us. John Moore and I are going to be running this program together. TheLibertyMan.com. That's John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. We're going to be running this together. But listen to this call to a radio station right after the horrible, horrible, horrible events in Afghanistan with our servicemen, 13 of our servicemen who perished in an attack by, the oh-so-friendly ISIS. Oh, was it ISIS? ISIS-K, Al-Qaeda, Taliban? Was it, who was it? They're all the friggin' same. And, you know, I'm not going to say this because that would sound self-serving. Go ahead and play this.
I'm going to take this call. I'm going to start with calls here. Kathy, Colorado, you're on the Wilcow Majority. Hello.
Hey, my son was one of the Marines that died yesterday.
Your
and to
son?
Listen to that. Sorry. I'm on the radio.
No. Go ahead.
My son was one of the Marines that died yesterday. 20 years and 6 months old. Getting ready to come home from frickin' Jordan to be with his wife to watch the birth of his son. And that feckless, dementia-ridden piece of crap just sent my son to die. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning to Marines at my door telling me my son was dead. So to have her on right before me and listen to that piece of crap talk about diplomatic crap with freaking Taliban terrorists who just freaking blew up my son and know nothing, to not say anything about, oh my God, I'm so sorry for the families. So my son is gone, and I just want all you Democrats who cheated in the election or who voted for him legitimately, you just killed my son with a dementia-ridden piece of crap who doesn't even know he's in the White House. He still thinks he's a senator. So I'm going to try and calm down. I'm sorry.
No, you look, I take this call with due trust here. I would hope nobody would call up and say if this wasn't true.
A Marine just left my house 2 minutes ago getting my divorce decree. Two Marines showed up my house at 4 o'clock in the morning to tell me my son was dead. So my name is Kathy McCollum. My son was Riley James McCollum. You can check it out. His wife, she might not want me to say her name. They just got married on February 14th and they're expecting a baby on September 26th. And, I just couldn't sit by idly because I think I need to just process through anger instead of tears. And so this is how I'm going to do it. And Laura Boebert's coming to my house tomorrow. My representative will be at my house tomorrow and, we'll speak and hopefully she'll be able to convey my message to the rest of the United States that this was, she said, your son did not die in vain, but guess what? My son did die in vain. This was an unnecessary debacle that could have been handled properly. They had months and months to remove everyone from Afghanistan, and they chose not to. And so they sent in freaking, 6,000 troops? And my son, through the laws of statistics, my son was one of the ones who just got blown up in a freaking terrorist bomb yesterday. So I know you'll check it out, and that's fine. Instead of grieving and crying, I'm just getting mad.
If there's any organization that you would like me to connect you to, if you want us, you want to give us information, there are many family support organizations that we work with. We used to do a thing called Vet Ride. It's not just for wounded soldiers and Marines. It's also for families that have lost people. I can't imagine what you're going through right now. Everything you're feeling right now is justified. I don't think you have to apologize or tell us you're going to comment. You have every right to feel how you feel and to speak your mind. And I consider it an honor that you would call this program and you would call me.
Because I love listening to you and I believe in you.
Well, thank you. And obviously I'm halfway across the country from you. I can't come over and comfort you right now. There's nothing I can do from where I'm sitting in this studio. But
no,
if there's anything.
My boyfriend's an Army veteran. He was in the 101st. He was the first wave over in 03, March of 03 in Iraq. And so thank God for him. And I think he might have been a big influence on why my son wanted to join the military. My son was a genius child, an IQ of 156. He could have done anything he wanted to do in the military. And he chose to be a Marine sniper. And that was his choice. Instead of just, being fast-tracked, he chose this course. but I never thought in a million years he would die for nothing, because a feckless, dementia-ridden piece of crap decided he wanted a photo op on September 11th. That's what kills me. I wanted my son to represent our country, to fight for my country, but I never thought that a feckless piece of crap would send him to his death and smirk on television while he's talking about people dying with his nasty smirk. The dementia-ridden piece of crap needs to be removed from office. It never would have happened under Trump. And I'm pacing, just so you know. I'm out of breath because I'm pacing. But it is so disgusting that these people cannot even acknowledge the fact that they just killed my son for nothing, for an ill-managed debacle of a freaking withdrawal from a country that we had total control of. That's what gets me. That's what gets me. If my son would have gone in on when my boyfriend did in March of 2003 to freaking defend our country against terrorists, that would have been one thing. But this is a whole nother animal.
Again, okay. You have the right to vent.
All right. Look at that picture. If you're watching this, put that back up. Put that back up. Because I think this says a lot. All right. Look at that fraudulent, fake piece of shit checking his watch at a solemn ceremony when they're bringing the bodies of the men, the boys who made the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. Think about that. Look at that picture and tell me you're okay with that. Where? You waiting for dominoes there, Joe? And that piece of crap, Jill Biden? And the people standing behind him and around him, they all need to go. They all need to go. And if you're not pissed off, you're not paying attention. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. Talk, because I can't. All right, okay, I can't talk anymore.
Doug, thank you.
Take it.
And good afternoon, sir. Looks like we do have video.
Yeah. Hey.
This is
good. Our never mind. It's sorry.
1975, 32-year-old U.S. Senator Joe Biden went to the White House to talk to President Ford. President Ford wanted money to evacuate our allies in South Vietnam. 32-year-old U.S. Senator Joe Biden opposed that financial package. President Ford turned to the private sector to get the money necessary to evacuate as many men, women, and children as he could. There's nothing new here. Joe Biden's original campaign when he ran for U.S. Senate was financed by the communists. Joe Biden has always been a puppet of the communist international conspiracy. No surprise, nothing new. The photograph you mentioned, that you showed a moment ago, when you're at the position of attention for a solemn ceremony, your eyes should be straight ahead and your left hand should be at your side, because that's what you do during a solemn ceremony when you cover your heart with your right hand. Obviously, clearly, he's not doing that. Of course, why would he? He's not a red-blooded American patriot. He's a communist agent.
Yeah, he can't even find his friggin' heart, okay? But that again, and Eric, the text, you know, he is a communist agent.
Well, he is.
Yeah, you're right.
And his vice, he's an agent for the communists. His vice president, Heels Up Harris, is a communist.
Of course.
There's a difference. President Biden is bought and paid for, controlled by the communists. I doubt he has any sincerely held communist beliefs, or he's even capable of having sincerely held communist beliefs, on one hand. On the other, Kamala Heels Up Harris is a communist and does truly have sincerely held communist beliefs and feelings and support for the international communist conspiracy. The Politburo in Moscow, the Politburo in China, is having toast of very expensive French champagne, toasting. They have what they've always wanted, complete control of the White House. Once again, they had a four-year hiatus when President Trump was in there. Hillary was supposed to be the closer and finish off the country. Now it's been turned over to Joe Biden. There's a lot of speculation. I haven't seen the evidence of what's going on in Washington, D.C. in terms of who's actually running the country. I do have more than half a century of experience of watching presidents come and go. Typically, when a U.S. president in the last 100 years, when they finish a term of office, they leave Washington, D.C. and never come back except for ceremonial purposes. That's not what Obama did. He bought a very nice, very large, very expensive mansion, not too far from the White House. His second-in-command, Valerie Jarrett, who is a Muslim communist and actually ran the country when Obama was president, she's got her workspace and her administrative assistants are in that mansion that is owned by Obama. There's a lot of evidence that Obama and Valerie Jarrett and Hillary are actually running the country. I can't prove it, but that's my feeling based on the evidence I've seen, Doug. We're in deep trouble.
Yes, we are.
We're very, very deep trouble.
So I've got two pieces of mail here. All right, that came in Saturday. Many others. And okay, so hold that thought. What you just said, and folks, again, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. The more rational of the two of us at the moment. All right, now what I'm going to read from an email represents these two actual letters I got. And this email is from Penny. These other two, no, I'm not going to give the names. Dear Mr. Hagman, and you can call me Doug, by the way. I've been listening to your program for several years, and I've always enjoyed so much listening to Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. Ah, for those easy listening days, and if only we had all been paying attention. That's where it starts. And she says, you know, I'm in your camp when you are pissed off about the garbage we are seeing on a daily basis. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because pissed off is in my rear view mirror right now. Because I truly believe, I believe this with my heart of hearts, that if we don't do something, if we don't get out from behind our microphones and behind our keyboards, and we don't start watering the tree of liberty with the blood of tyrants and patriots, then you know what? We are going to give our children and their children, they're going to inherit a mess. But let me continue here. She writes, I'm old enough to remember when Americans didn't stand for this crap. And this crap can be anything that we're going to talk about today. And would organize and do something about it. Well, the left organized, didn't they? The left organized really well from the 60s forward. And even before that, of course, you know, but the deep state, of course, the non-existent conspiratorial deep state, according to Rachel Maddow and her husband or wife or whatever that might be. I don't know. I really don't. So don't say I'm, I just don't know if it's a husband, if it's a wife, I just don't know. But, all right, is she the husband or is she the wife? Is she the mom or is she the dad or is she the mom, dad? It's so confusing. And Chris Hayes, which you've never seen them in the same room together, but anyway, and others. But Penny continues. No, those are my words. So, you know, the service of legal process to my address to me, not to Penny. All right. Where has that generation gone? The one that cared, the one that was able to mobilize. John, I'm going to ask you that here. Let me just finish this out. Maybe that was our parents' generation. I'm shocked. I'm appalled. I'm sickened by all the stuff that we see daily, and even more when no one is really organizing for all of us who are like-minded to come together. Good point. Good point. Who's organizing? You know, there's a clip coming up here. Maybe we shouldn't organize. Maybe we should not organize. There's a term, a war term in Pashtun, I believe it is, Shaga. Ben and his guests were talking about that. A scuffle breaks out or something breaks out. Word gets out and people come from all directions on horses, cows, mules, you know, motorcycles, U.S. donated military hardware to that specific scuffle, battle, whatever, and take care of business, right? Overseas. So maybe we shouldn't organize. Maybe we should just go out and do it. All right. And am I calling for insurrection? I don't know. Again, I'm as confused over that word because insurrection was used to describe January 6th. But I tell you what, if that's what insurrection looks like, I can't wait to see what, then Armageddon is going to be like a school pick. I mean, the words mean things, and that certainly wasn't an insurrection. All right, but anyway, unless you write this, and gentlemen, I'm going to turn it over to you then. What happened to the stuff that Steve Pachinik was telling Alex Jones? And Alex wasn't buying any of that crap either. Well, you know, there's going to be a rest in Gitmo, and Donald Trump is going to be reinstated. I don't have anything against Steve Pachinik. Okay, I don't. I really don't. Where are all the Gitmo arrests? Why does Nancy Pelosi, that loser? Well, she didn't quite write the loser. I threw that in there. Think that she's got the authority to open up shop in Florida and California with D.C. police squads. Why haven't we organized the militia before now? I'm so astounded. And then she says, thanks for what you do. And that goes for you, too, by the way. So, John, before I get taken off the air, before the goon squad rushes in here and takes me in handcuffs for, you know, inciting an insurrection, what are we going to do? And what do you think? Go ahead.
Okay, well, leaderless resistance is smart. That was done a few years ago nationwide, and it was very successful. The leaderless resistance we had during the Obama administration. When you have leaderless resistance, you don't have a head of the snake to be cut off. That's a really smart thing to do. What we've got right now, I would regard as leaderless resistance in the patriot community. There's no specific main leader, no specific main group. We are disassociated with each other in terms of any formal chain of command or leadership. That makes it hard to defeat us, makes it almost impossible to defeat us. So I think that's a good thing. Let's go to January 6th and this use of the word insurrection. For there to be an insurrection, you have to have a group that's identifiable. The group has to have a leader, a chain of command, and a mission. None of those things existed on January 6th. The closest thing to leadership we had was the FBI operatives that were at work in Washington, D.C., so if there was an insurrection at all, it was an FBI insurrection.
And, you know, if I can just say this while I'm on a tear, don't give me any crap about the rank and file FBI being good, okay? I can't tell you why right now. I just can't tell you why, but I don't want to hear it. That whole place needs to be fumigated. I mean, from top to bottom, from secretary to stenographer to every 302, everybody, that place needs to be fumigated. I don't want to hear your crap, anyone's crap about, well, the FBI, so you got some good guys there, you know. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Okay, Doug. Well, we can let that lie for the time being.
Sure we can.
Well, one of the things all our listeners is to maintain a sense of humor. One of the things we learn in combat, Doug, is a guy who does not have a sense of humor, he's going to get himself hurt and everybody around him. So even in combat, you have to maintain a sense of humor. That's very important for survival. We're not yet in open combat. We are, in fact, in war. The make-believe pandemic was designed to get us to take the real biological weapon, which is the clot shots. The COVID-19 is basically a strong form of the flu that if you're otherwise healthy, you have, do not have a compromised immune system, you're going to get sick for a few days and you'll be okay as long as you don't get on a respirator, as long as you have proper treatment in the form of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine.
Wait. Ivermectin, hold on a second. That's horse pills, right? Horse stuff. Eric Tech, I got a box of ivermectin. Thanks, Kevin. But
they taste good.
Apple flavor. Yeah.
Apple flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. But
right.
Okay.
Right.
So,
Doug, it works. That's bottom line.
It works. I know it does. Otherwise, I wouldn't have it.
I know you do. And I got apple flavored ivermectin. I also have liquid ivermectin, which is not flavored. I was having a coffee with one of my neighbors. I live in cattle country out here in the Ozarks. A lot of cattle ranchers. And he had a conversation with the owner of a farm and ranch supply store. They sell ivermectin over the counter, as they've done for decades. And he's had customers buy ivermectin for personal human use for decades. Guess what, Doug? Ivermectin is useful against any and all of these viruses, not just COVID-19. And by word of mouth, people in my neighborhood in the Ozarks know this. So it's no secret in the part of the country I live in that ivermectin is useful for human beings to maintain overall great health. Kind of lost our train of thought here, Doug.
You can thank me for that. I'm good at that. I'm good at redirecting trains of thought.
You can be pretty distracting. That's okay.
Yeah, I can. Can I? And you know what? No apologies for that, John. Work with me, bud.
I'm working.
All right.
Okay. We're at war.
Yeah, we are.
The entire planet, with the exception of India and China, who pretty much rejected the COVID-19 clot shots. We don't know what they're doing in Russia. What they call a COVID-19 vaccination there may only be a saline solution. We don't know what they're doing. But what we're getting in the Western world, which is North America, South America, Europe, Africa, much of Asia, not all of it, is a biological weapon to accomplish the goal of depopulation of the world, to reduce the population of the world, sterilizing men, sterilizing women, killing people off, making people disabled, all those things. I just got a notice this morning, a couple of notices, that as of August 23rd, which was just the other day, Americans can no longer travel to the Czech Republic unless they've had the COVID shot.
You know what, John? Yeah. I was going to be leaving for the Czech Republic next week. For vacation. Now you tell me this?
Well, too late. I was in Prague when I was awarded the Prague Peace Prize in 2017. I did not go inside the tavern, but I walked past the tavern that's been serving drinks continuously since before Christopher Columbus sailed across the ocean. And that was inside the Prague Castle up there, which is still used as for government offices, by the way. Beautiful city. You can walk around downtown Prague and not see a cigarette butt, a candy wrapper, anything on a street. It's the cleanest city I've ever seen. I've been in some clean cities. Regardless, now in the travel industry, they're going to start requiring not one, not two, but three COVID shots before you'll be allowed to participate in much of the travel industry. That's where it's headed right now, Doug.
Good. I don't want to go anywhere anyway. And you know what? We need to take care. We need to clean house out of this country before we go traveling over for vacation on some, you know, fantasy island crap. Let's take care of the business right here, right now, today. Screw the travel. And by the way, about travel, what are we doing? What are we doing bringing over, 12,700 Afghan men of fighting age from Afghanistan and we leave our own behind? What in the hell is our military doing? John, you're a military guy. You tell me that this makes friggin' sense. Go ahead, tell me. I want you to tell me because I'm going to come right down there.
Well, you know, I'm not going to reinforce that bizarre behavior that our government's engaged in. What are these men going to do when they get here? The average Afghan IQ is around 75 or 80. These are men who frequently don't even have a last name, frequently are illiterate, can't count between beyond their fingers and toes. Now, granted, there's a lot of educated Afghans. One of the reasons that the Afghan army survived 5 days after we left is because they're so heavily infiltrated with the jihadis, the Taliban. We made this, and I can't confirm this, but I'm pretty sure, Doug, we made the same mistake in Afghanistan we did in Vietnam. We hired and trusted the Afghans who spoke the best English, thinking that, oh, if they speak English as well as my neighbors back in the States, then of course I can trust them. Of course they share our values and beliefs. Of course they want Afghanistan to be a republic on a model similar to Western nations. Well, that's wrong, wrong, wrong. Jihadis who are dyed-in-the-wool Muslims who hate the United States, hate our way of life, hate Americans, can speak excellent English, probably better than some of my hillbilly neighbors out here, which is why they were so heavily, the Afghan government, the Afghan National Army, was so heavily infiltrated by the Taliban. So, Doug, we're in deep trouble here. Bringing thousands of military-age, healthy adult males from Afghanistan to this country is a massive mistake, and they will join the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands of other healthy adult males coming to this country that are illegal aliens, that are probably jihadists, because we found the prayer rugs abandoned on our Mexican border, Doug. We found the Qurans abandoned on our Mexican border. That's been going on for many, many years. There's nothing new about that. They're just adding to the numbers that are already here, the sleeper cells, as they're referred to. Now, here in my home state, in Missouri, we have two Muslim terrorist groups in Columbia, Missouri, which is near the state capital of Jefferson City. It's only been a few years ago that some of these men were arrested, having bought hundreds of cell phones at a time, having bought dozens of propane tanks at a time, the small ones that you use for barbecuing, the 20-pound cylinders.
Did the FBI stop? I have to ask you this, John. After they were identified as terrorist organizations, did the FBI stop and have lunch with them, break bread with them, FBI agents up there?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question,
sir. The reason I'm asking you is because over here in Hancock, New York, where the Muslims, you know, headed by Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani, that individual who had posted a religious threat against, or what do you call those things? Fatwa, thank you. Fatwa. The synapses aren't connecting right now. I'm so PO'd. John, okay, so you had all this, okay.
That was a good headshot of you, by the way.
Headshot. Fatwa? Yeah, good headshot of me. Thank you. Yeah, there's still places I can't go, okay? And the FBI came in and said, you know, hey, Doug, you know what you got to do? You got to up your security. That's what you got to do. And I said, what are you doing? He said, nothing we can do. And I said, I gave you the friggin' report. I gave, you know, okay, they're out there marching with weapons, automatic weapons, not semi-automatic. Where in the hell do they get automatic weapons, okay? I know the difference. I've got semi-automatic weapons myself, okay? And they're, of course, right next to a reservoir that controls New York City's water, and they're this, and they're by power structures and stuff. So John Moore, identified essentially two groups of Muslim terrorists, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right, well, that's public record. It's no secret.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's no secret over here either. Everyone knows. It's an open secret. And the FBI, instead of doing anything about it, they send two of their agents to go and break bread with this mop head group. All right. And what do I get for showing what this is all about? I get a fatwa against me. And you know, it's just coincidental. A couple of weeks later, my car blows up. All right. You know, it just happens. And then the cops come and they say, well, who'd you piss off lately? And I said, here's a phone book. Take your pick. But anyway, go ahead, sir.
Well,
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? When you're ready, and you guide this because I'm really off now. You guide this. I've got a clip from Frank Gaffney about Sharia supremacism is the new threat we face, and I think that that's where you're headed. But you tell me when to put that up. Go ahead.
Well, Islam is a great religion. It really is. What other religion says that you can have sex with your wife after she's deceased? They call it farewell sex. And that's from one of the top imams at the oldest Muslim university there in Cairo, Egypt. Farewell sex. Now, when the military coup took over Egypt. It's limited to, I don't know how many days after death that you can still have sex with your deceased wife. When they had a military coup in Egypt, now keep in mind that most Egyptian officers spent time in the United States, a lot of time being trained. They ordered the oldest Muslim university to stop teaching cannibalism is a dandy thing to participate in. I don't know whether they still do it or not, but they were ordered to no longer do that. It's routine in the Muslim world for adult males to marry girls who are 7, 8, 9 years old, typically 9 years old, of course, because Muhammad married a 7-year-old girl, but being the righteous man that he was, the prophet, he did not have sex with her until she was 9 years old. That's what Muhammad did. Muhammad personally executed many, many men and women. And of course, on behalf of his teachings, millions of people have been executed and murdered the past 900 plus years.
But aren't they right now just the minions of the deep state? Seriously. All right. The perversity of having sex with a dead person. I've seen that, you know, just this week. I can't even just, you know, that's just really, it's, but I mean, aren't they just minions of the deep state?
I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Now we can look at Barack Hussein Obama as being part of the deep state because obviously his top administrative assistant, Valerie Jarrett, is a Muslim communist. What deals are made behind the scenes for them to cooperate to achieve mutual goals? I don't have access to that information. Clearly, at the top levels, this is taking place. We now have the Vatican talking about merging the Catholic Church with Islam. That's taking place right now, Doug. So you have more than 1 billion Catholics. You have more than 1 billion Muslims with their combined efforts. Who knows what these people might try to do?
Do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think that the mask played a role in that? Masking is playing a role in that face covering cultural aspect of Islam?
I'm not aware of any connection there, Doug. I can't reject that as being possible. The whole thing about wearing masks is so strange and so bizarre. Recently at my website, we've had a dramatic several 100% increase in the sales of these masks. I have some of them here about 10 feet from me. I should get one. We got one with sparkles for the ladies to wear to parties if they have to go to a Christmas party and wear a mask. The face covering thing in Islam, I know I sometimes travel to Whole Foods in St. Louis County, and a lot of Muslim women will shop there. The complete covering with only a narrow slot for them to see through. And I try to see if they're sweating, because if they're sweating, it means I got a suicide vest attached to them, and they're about ready to blow themselves up. If you're about to die, even if you're promised your great reward by the prophet, you're still going to be sweating and be nervous. So I try to see if they're sweating if I see one of these women in a supermarket.
And I'm just curious. I have to ask the obvious now. So you see that they're sweating. You look at them, you think, hey, man, that could be, you know, that could be a suicide or a homicide bomber. So now what? What do you do?
I quickly get as far away as I can outside the kill zone. I finish my purchase and I leave the premises.
Okay, but you still go to the cash register and check out though, right? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. We're over there, man. Looks like a homicide bomber. You know, sweating like a.
Like a stuck pig. No.
Yeah, I had another. I watched Fletch Lives last night, trying to bleach my mind out of certain things, and
that's good. Laughter is good. Watching Fletch is probably a good thing to do for all.
He's kind of a moron politician, or you know, his politics are moronic.
I don't know the man's politics. Really, don't care what they are. Yeah. The mostly Hollywood people are all ate up with socialist, communist, liberal beliefs. That's pretty much the way the majority of them are, I think. Or they wouldn't get employment otherwise. but, Doug, you have every right to be upset that we're bringing in many thousands of military-age healthy males from Afghanistan that can't and won't be properly vetted. I'm not aware of any protocols in place to properly vet these men. I'm not sure it can even be done, Doug. I'm not.
It can't. No, it can't. Yeah. And that's what Frank Gaffney and others, you know, I've talked to Frank and, I really haven't earned the right to call him Frank. I've talked to Mr. Gaffney before. And, that's what he said. In fact, let me play this clip. I don't want to get you too off base here. This is in line with what you're saying. We'll play the clip and then I'm going to show an image as well of what we left over there. But let's play this clip. This is from Frank. This is a War Room with Steve Bannon and Frank Gaffney was on in Sharia Supremism or Supremacy. I'll get this. Supremacy is the new threat we face. Go ahead and roll that.
The thing that is important is communicating not just to the American people. You're actually communicating to the Taliban and to ISIS.
And to China.
China, exactly. You know, these concentric circles of what exactly is going to happen. And at least, and look, we understand you don't want to telegraph everything.
Sure.
But you have to command the room. You have to walk in and people know that you can enforce your will on events. Here is where we are. We're in a situation where we have a team that was not fully vetted. The American people were not allowed to do full due diligence. And you have a group, and they're supposed to be your betters. They're supposed to be the most professional team out there, right? You got them from all the big think tanks. They're from all the proper stuff. People should understand these are guys with all the credentials, from all the Ivy League schools. They've been in junior White House positions over at the Senate and the House. They've gone to the right think tanks. They've worked at the right hedge funds. They're in the right dining clubs in this town. This is the elite. This is the American elite. And this is where you're seeing how absolutely incompetent they are. This is incompetence. And then to roll him out today and to have him give that talk, right? And still, I think my takeaway is that, hey, he's going to stay. But then they say you're going to put in more troops. Well, no, I'm not going to put in more troops. Or are they coming out now? Are we coming out immediately?
No, there was no clarity.
You've welded shut. If you add McKinsey's talk, was kind of sitting back and kind of flipping. I don't think we have time to play McKinsey. You're going to do it on your show tonight.
Yes.
But I do want you to give a highlight because you were infuriated by McKinsey.
If you
put McKinsey the head of CENTCOM, it's kind of this flippant, kind of leaning back in his chair with this haphazard Biden unfocused. People are sitting there. If I'm ISIS K, go guys. Let's do what Michael Yon says. Now let's pursue and then humiliate.
Yeah, because these are unserious people, these leaders that we're up against. And who are the two most important generals in America right now? It would be Mark Milley and this McKenzie, right? The head of CENTCOM and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Mark Milley is obsessed with social justice warrior nonsense, right? He's obsessed with CRT and Ibram X. Kendi. Right, he's also obsessed with trying to claim that Jan 6 was an insurrection. He's obsessed with making hundreds of thousands of U.S. servicemen and women take a jab that they don't want. That's where his focus is, okay? Not on getting us properly and safely out of Afghanistan. And then when we look at McKenzie today, I was appalled at the lackadaisical approach during his presentation and some of the things he said. And please play the tapes of this because I think the American people will be appalled. On a day when 12 Americans gave their lives, 12 of our youngest and bravest Americans gave their lives, he did not come out with a battle plan mode. He didn't seem to be solemn about the loss. None of that. And by the way, from Biden, you know, as a messaging guy, what I would have told him, here's what we need from you. Yes, pay tribute to the dead, not your son. Not your son, okay, who has nothing to do with this. Pay tribute to the dead from today, then promise retribution, and you don't have to give details there because you probably shouldn't, right? But promise retribution, convince the world that you mean it. And then thirdly, say, and here's what we are going to do operationally. Maybe it's status quo, maybe it's not, but the point is make the world confident that you have a plan and that you are executing on that plan. He did none of that today, none of that. Instead, I think what he showed the world is that he is a doddering caretaker. And that's what happens to your point, Steve. We've got to get back to the beginning of all this, the genesis of all this madness, is what big tech did, what the corporate media did last year to hide from the American people the truth of who he is, so they were not able to make an informed decision about the election.
They deplatformed one of the strongest leaders we've had in the history of this country in a turbulent time in the world, okay, and particularly in one of the worst neighborhoods of the world. A strong leader, a steadfast leader, even if you didn't agree with everything he did, okay? Nobody doubted his strength. Nobody doubted his resolve, particularly our enemies. They deplatformed. I want you to keep in mind, while he was commander-in-chief, negotiating this, while he was commander-in-chief, he was deplatformed by a guy like Jack Dorsey, by Zuckerberg, by the guys at Google. He was deplatformed, okay, and shut down by the media. And this, what you saw today in living color, okay, Rachel Maddow and the tech oligarchs and the Wall Street, everybody supported him, right? Everybody supported him. You own this. You own this. This is not about partisan politics now. This is about this country going into a very dark and dangerous place, okay? We're on the path, right. I'm telling you right now, to a kinetic war. The Chinese Communist Party, you know why? They see that today, and they go, we can move now.
Right.
We can move now before Trump gets back, and we're going to move now. One thing I want to get to, you get a few minutes, and Jack...
All right, John, I screwed up here. That was supposed to be clip B, and actually we ran C. Okay, clip C. That's all right. So it's just Eric the Tech, make sure it's B next time. But that makes a good point, though, regardless. Even though we were talking about the threat of the people, you know, coming over here, the unvetted, this makes a good point as well. And the point to this, with Steve Bannon saying, of course, over there, you've got, we are telegraphing our weakness to China. And that's going to start, I mean, things are going to be happening in India, Kashmir, the South China Sea, Taiwan. And you know what? Ain't nobody going to help them. Certainly not the United States. Certainly not this administration. And you know what I got from this too? Is all, and you know what, John? One last thing, and then you can take this. When you look at the Hunter Biden laptop, the first iteration, the first laptop, if you will, you can see a lot of negotiations between Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and China. Through shell companies and corporations. But a lot while Biden was vice president under the illegitimate Barack Hussein Obama. So anyway, so this is setting a very dangerous tone in the world where I think that we are going to be about ready to go to war here. Either that or just be overrun and overtaken. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, Doug, our job as broadcast journalists is to educate and inform our listeners, to warn them about things that we find are clear and present danger, so they can, in turn, make what I call prudent preparations to deal with what's coming. I'm finding myself making changes in my preparations to deal with what's coming. It was a week ago today, one of my private confidential sources, he works up in Connecticut doing high-end remodeling. He works with a number of very skilled construction workers, including a Mexican national who's here illegally, great guy, hard worker, family still back in Mexico, who told him in the last few days, in the last week or so, that the Chinese military is training the Mexican military, that there is a large Chinese military presence in Mexico, and a bonus, Doug, since the first of the year, a dramatic increase in the Russian troops in Mexico. And another bonus, a dramatic increase in seeing armored vehicles in Mexico that belong to the Russians and Chinese. What we're seeing, Doug, is a pre-positioning of Chinese troops, a pre-positioning of Russian troops, everything they need to wage war against the United States and be successful. That goes along with what we're hearing from other sources, of course, but to me, when I get a private source that tells me this, it gives it a lot more credibility, because I know the guys that are giving me this information. Our mutual acquaintance, Dave Hodges, has been reporting on this for years, as have I, as have you. People will be foolish to disregard the information that we're providing them. The smart thing to do would be to incorporate the knowledge that we're giving them and do what they need to do to get ready right now, get their spiritual house in order. It's not something that's optional. It's probably the single most important thing people can do to get the skills they need. Now, our listeners may have a team of six people, or maybe a larger team of 600. No matter what team you've got, the two skills that will be in greatest demand and shortest supply will be the following skills. That will be first aid CPR training and ham radio skills. Those two skills will be in the biggest demand and shortest supply. Now we have new listeners every week, Doug. That's just the nature of what we do. Where can you get first aid training? Well, there's the Red Cross, hospitals, junior colleges, the local fire department all put on first aid CPR training. It's pretty easy to find, pretty easy to get. Ham radio skills, I refer people to the following website, the ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima .org website. The place to find your local ham radio club, the place to get the study material you need to pass your ham radio license test and get those skills. It's not that difficult. We routinely have 8, 9, 10-year-old boys and girls getting their ham radio license. You no longer need to know Morse code. That's history. It's no longer necessary. So no excuse. We don't know when all this is going to go down. Will it be tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? I don't know, Doug. I do know it's coming. And the quicker people get ready, the better off they're going to be. It's interesting. I've been doing consultations for preparedness since the summer of 1977, I believe it is. And so I've been at this a long time, and I see it's interesting to see the breakdown between what women want to focus on, what men want to focus on. And I've come to understand this is just simply the way it is, and I don't challenge it. Women have their priorities, men have their priorities. And that's okay. That's the way it should be. But it's important to establish those priorities and get to work on them right now. I don't know how much time we've got, Doug. I know that if you're not involved in preparedness and haven't been for some period of time, you're going to feel like you're scrambling to get ready. That's okay. Do what you can. Do not anguish. And I repeat, do not anguish over what you can't do, over what you can't buy. Take joy in what you can do. If it's simply a matter of rinsing out 2-liter soda bottles and filling with fresh water, then take joy in the fact that you can do that. If you can only buy bags of beans and rice, take joy in the fact that you can do that. If you're limited in what you can do, and everybody's limited, we all have limited, finite ability. Take joy in what you can. Do not anguish over what you can't do, Doug. That will serve no purpose other than to slow you down and make you dysfunctional.
But John, look, I understand that. But see, I'm getting tired of playing defense on this. I don't know about you folks out there. We've been playing defense for the last 100 years. We've seen our Constitution ripped to shreds. We've seen, these incumbents get in over and over and over. Pelosi, what is she on there? 88th term in office. I can't even speak, okay? But you get what I'm saying, all right? The same crusty critters up there from Hank Johnson, or I think that's his name, you know, where Guam's going to tip over to Pelosi, to Weinstein, Weinstein, I said that deliberately. Sheila Jackson Lee needs the whambulance. All these morons that keep getting elected over and 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 over again. Why? Why are we playing defense? Why don't we go off and play offense for once? Why don't we rip that fence down around our house? Why don't we get together in numbers too big to absolutely ignore or take down and rip that fence down, rip that barbed wire crap out of the people's house, rip it off, rip it down? Why don't we do this, John? Why aren't we filling every single school board, every single city council meeting, every county council meeting, and disrupting the hell out of them, and going to the places where these morons eat, where these morons sleep, and make sure they don't get a wink of sleep? Why aren't we doing this?
It is happening, Doug. And first of all, I agree with you. The communists have been very diligent in taking over school boards, taking over city councils, taking over state houses. For decades, they've been at this. And they see the golden ring within their reach. They see it. They know they can reach out and grab it. We've had many patriots show up at school board meetings. Patriots show up at city council meetings, at state house and state senate meetings, expressing their anger over what's taking place. That needs to happen all over the country. In addition, we need to have Christian patriots running for school board, running for city council, running for state house, running for state senate. And most important of all, or maybe I should say of great importance, is to elect Constitution patriotic sheriffs in the more than 3,000 counties that still have sheriffs. The powers that be recognize the power of a patriotic sheriff elected and meeting the needs of his constituents. They're very fearful of patriotic sheriffs nationwide. They're the patriotic conservative Christian sheriffs are the last barrier between us and being taken over completely, Doug. That's how important these sheriffs are. So if your sheriff is not a Constitution-believing, Constitution-supporting sheriff, it's time to run somebody against that person. Most of them are men. I guess there's a few female sheriffs around the country. But regardless, we need Constitution-believing, Constitution-protecting sheriffs in every sheriff's office in the county, in the country, Doug. It's extremely important. And not optional. Many of these sheriffs have, because of the work that's being done with the various organizations around the country. Sheriff Mack comes to mind. Excellent. He's a true patriot. The work he's been doing for years has helped a lot of sheriffs be elected, retain office, the patriotic sheriffs around the country. We need that kind of leadership.
We do.
At the county level. We really do.
Yeah, and you mentioned school boards. I see some people going to school boards now. In fact, at a local school I went down, I was just too late. It conflicted with the show and stuff, but it was too late where people were, our county executive, this dumb piece of garbage county executive that we have here, mandated masks for all schools, public and private, by the way, as if she's got the authority or power to do that, which is a bunch of crap, okay? But we have teachers also. No, this is not from our school. But see, the women in this, the women, the mama bears are getting really PO'd. But see, so the importance of fighting on a local level, which you just said, at the sheriff level, at school district, this is, I'm going to show you a 59-second video. This is what we're fighting against. Morons like this, okay? If this was my daughter's teacher when I was younger, okay, I would have gone in. I would have ripped her out of that classroom by her hair, okay? That's what I would have done. And don't tell me any different, because I'll tell you, I've been there. Play this clip.
and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. I always tell my class, stand if you feel like it, don't stand if you feel like it, say the words if you want, don't have to say the words. So my class decided to stand but not say the words. Totally fine. Except for the fact that my room does not have a flag. It used to be there, but I took it down during COVID because it made me uncomfortable. And I packed it away and I don't know where, and I haven't found it yet. But my kid today goes, hey, it's kind of weird that we just stand and then, you know, we say it to nothing. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got to find it. Like, I'm working on it. I got you. In the meantime, I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. And he, like, looks around. And he goes, oh, that one? Okay, so during...
That, John, that is teacher Kristen Pitzen, P-I-T-Z-E-N. She works for the Newport Mesa School District in Orange County, California. Just saying. Okay, again, that's Kristen Pitzen, P-I-T-Z-E-N. She works for the Newport Mesa School District in Orange County, California. All right. Again, Kristen Pitzen, Newport Mesa School District in Orange County, California. And,
well, Kristen's making fun of our republic. She's making fun of what our republic stands for. She's making fun of the hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans these past 200 plus years who support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. She's able to smile and laugh and make fun of the republic that keeps her safe from men and women who want to kill us. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Now, in my county, in Crawford County, Missouri, she would no longer have her job employed teaching our vulnerable children. She would be gone in a heartbeat. That's where she would be.
You know, that's the value of fighting local.
The flag promoting the mental illness of homosexuality would not be displayed in any classroom in my county. That would not be allowed. Homosexuality is a mental illness. We have high-level members of the Biden administration who are mentally ill. There's this one man who is mentally ill and believes he would like to become a woman, is holding a level of a position of trust and responsibility in the Biden administration. That's unacceptable. It's completely unacceptable. Mentally ill men and women should be treated with respect and courtesy. But we don't go along with her mental illness. We don't. We shouldn't. We can't. We cannot give credibility to their mental illness as being something normal. We can't do that, Doug.
No, but we have to fight this, like you said, on a local level.
I spent my wife was sick with cancer. I spent a year and a half with her living in the community of Brentwood, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis, living in her parents' home, taking care of her. Within short walking distance of that home, the Brentwood Public Library invited a mentally ill Negro male dressed up as a woman to read stories to little children, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, while their parents were standing by smiling and delighted that a mentally ill black male dressed up as a woman was reading stories to their vulnerable children, as if that's something normal, something that should be celebrated, and something that was a good thing for their vulnerable children. That's happening all over the country, Doug.
Okay, so when I started out this program with Yuri Bezmenov, the interview, which I believe you have on your website.
It's on my website. Yeah. It's a free download at my website. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I urge everyone to go to thelibertyman.com and check out all the links he's got. But you know, I'm a fan of like the vintage Johnny Carson shows. All right. back in the, I'll say, mid to early 70s backward, okay, from there, when he was, when there was class, when there was, you could talk about certain things, and you would talk about certain things, but other things you wouldn't push down the throats of people.
You see my mask?
I'm stunned.
We better buy our bread real quick. We better buy our bread real quick and get out of here.
Checking into the Hilton Hotel in Dallas, I wore this mask.
Okay, now I'm not sure if it's just the lighting though. Are you trying to be Northam? Blackface Northam?
They wouldn't let me check in unless I wore a mask. So I put it on. The guy got real quiet when I put on my mask covering my entire face. But he did check me in, Doug.
Oh, Lord.
I had so much fun with this.
So, let me see that again. Folks, if you're listening to this on Global Star and other venues, you have to go to Rumble to see this. Okay. Now all you need is a...
I can see, I can talk, I can breathe.
You can see.
Hold up some fingers, Doug. I'll tell you how many fingers you hold up.
You don't want me to do that, brother. You really
more
don't.
Than one. Make it more than one.
Okay.
Four.
I was hiding
How
one.
About that?
See?
Yeah. It's great. We have three lovely Filipino women married to American gentlemen in Salem, Missouri, fabricating these masks. They all have a little American flag on the side. Turn it right so you can see it. Little American flag. American made. I like to ask the question, Doug. Are there adults in charge?
I'm going to tell you what, if I saw you wearing that approach and me, you'd have much more to worry about than mask ordinances, but go ahead. No, you know what? Look, folks, you got to go to The Liberty Man, thelibertyman.com, and get yours today and have fun.
Well, here we got a white one, a Halloween one.
Oh. Do
a Halloween one.
Halloween, okay.
A white one. I gave away the one with the sparkles. Here's a pink one. And of course, camouflage. I like camouflage. Are there adults in charge?
At this point, brother, I don't know who the hell's in charge, but I know it's not Mr. Marbles, and I know Heels Up is down there under the sheets, probably. And I don't know, brother. No. You know what? No. Adults are not in charge. No one's in charge. You know, and people, the mainstream legacy media is not our friend. You know, they're hiding all of the stuff that we should be talking about. The fact that Biden, you know, falls asleep when he's in a meeting with the Israeli the president. And of course, you know, you look at the media and say, oh, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. My God, I've seen Eric Moore awake at 4 in the morning than that. So, okay.
It's my fault I don't take your calls at 4 a.m.
No, except when you're working at 4 a.m. You threw me off base with a mask there, brother. I don't know what
that's okay. That's okay. We had fun with it. That's the main thing. We did have fun with it, Doug.
I'm going to have to make a still shot of that and put that up as the show thumbnail.
That's fine.
The clicks that will happen off that. And okay, Media Matters and Right Wing Watch. That's thelibertyman.com. John Moore. Kyle, you know what to do, right? Thelibertyman.com. Kyle from Right Wing Watch. Go ahead. Have at him. I'm kidding. I don't, you know.
This is a Right Wing Watch. So tell us, I don't know what Right Wing Watch is. Tell me, what is that, Doug?
It's, I can't tell you what it is because there's nothing good that's going to come out of my mouth and my mom.
Kind of like a fact checker, isn't it?
A fact checker?
Kind of.
Okay, we'll go with that.
It's a left-wing outfit. Is that what you're trying to tell us, Doug?
Well, let's study the name, Right Wing Watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a left-wing, insane. In my view.
Those 100 clicks.
Right. And hey, we got 1.55 million. Hey. You don't. We do.
Right.
Neener, neener. Right. I'm going to be picturing that mask now coming at me. Oh, man. Folks, again, if you're listening to this, you got to go back to the Rumble and take a look at that thumbnail, or the, not the thumbnail, but the, this, you know, mark this time, which is 70 minutes in, I think. 76 minutes in. Say, whatever it is. But, and yeah, but go ahead. But here's the thing, though, John. As much as I agree with, okay, you do that as a son of civil disobedience. But see, the only reason that, and believe me, I'm all in favor of what you're doing, because we're not going to change the world. We're not going to change the majority of people, or the people that are not going to want to change. To me, all right, this is just my view. If I have to do that, all right, I'm not going to do that. You follow what I'm saying there? If somebody says you've got to wear a mask, whatever you're selling, I ain't buying, and whatever you're saying, I'm not accepting. Okay, because I don't have to wear a mask. They don't work. Number one, unless you've got it's essentially a full biosuit along with a at least an N95, or at least. And even then, it's not guaranteed, and goggles and the whole nine yards. So, you know, it's just security theater. So, I'm in favor of no face coverings. All right, take the face covering off, and show that you're not a sheep. I had to real quick, and this is a true story. All right, so it's not about mass. Well, it's about mass and the clot shot. Neighbor, several doors down. Parents both died within a week after, or from COVID, okay? One was, I believe, 80, they were in their 80s. And within a week of each other. And my other neighbor was saying, well, you know, it's mass and the jab. You need the vaccination and the mass. And I said, mass don't work, and the jab doesn't work either. Oh, yeah, it does. They come to find out that the person, the one of the two that passed away, got the clot shot 5 days before getting sick from the coronavirus. So what came first, the clot shot or the virus? And one would think that the clot shot would have worked, should have worked, right? I mean, and hey, look, if you get a clot shot, if you get a vaccine, what they're calling vaccines, if you get one, what the hell are you doing worrying about me? If it works so well, or if you're wearing a mask, why should you give a damn if I wear a mask? And by the way, don't tell me to wear a mask, because you're not the boss of me. No, I mean, you.
Well, Doug, sometimes if we want to engage in a certain activity, like I wanted to check into that hotel in Dallas about 3 months ago. I didn't want to go anyplace else. I went ahead and complied, but I had fun with it at the same time.
So just to recap this, I mean, you put that on and they accepted that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the clerk was quite satisfied that I was wearing a mask, as he did not want to lose his job. And so I put on the mask. I checked in. As soon as I walked away from the check-in desk, I took it off.
I mean, isn't to me that he's stupid. Sorry, but you can't fix stupid.
It's just probably a college student working part-time to pay his way through school. I don't know. He wanted to keep his job. That was his goal. My goal was to check into the Hilton Hotel. We both met our goals. He got to keep his job. I got to check into the Hilton Hotel, and life went on. He could care less about masks. He's just trying to keep his damn job. Now,
So what are you going to do? Okay, now hold on.
Go ahead.
Let's follow this through to its natural conclusion. So now, if you want to check on that same hotel, and they said, well, you got to get the clot shot. You have to show proof of the clot shot. So you got any? You got any fake COVID CDC cards?
No, I got genuine COVID CDC shot cards, Doug. I don't have fake ones. And I'm not going to talk about how I obtain these things, but I have my ways.
All right. So, to me, I just say, so this shows kind of our difference. Now, and it's good because I think a lot of this will show. Oh, Eric's in Texas. What if it goes digital?
Well, I developed as a private investigator. I developed fake IDs of different kinds over the years to use in my career as a private investigator to do covert undercover operations.
Good thing I never did that.
Well, of course I did,
I never did that. I'm kidding.
I'd be shocked and surprised if you didn't do that, but I did. And I had a number of successful covert undercover operations using different identification. I even went to the extent of registering my car in fake companies to accomplish my goals.
Oh, that's rookie stuff, brother. I know. Yeah, but yeah, you can't. Yeah, seriously, that's true. But you're saying, so rather than fight this at that level, excuse me, you'd fake it?
Whatever it takes to accomplish the goal. As a young man in Special Forces, we were trained to do covert undercover operations. As a private investigator, I was trained and conducted covert and undercover operations. This is second nature to me, Doug. I've been doing it for half a century. And so it's nothing new to me to do covert undercover operations and develop whatever false ID I need to accomplish that goal, to accomplish the mission. That's what we do. That's what you do. That's what I do. And others can engage in this if they choose to also. The only rule is don't get caught. That's it.
Well, we can always say we're old and confused, brother. I thought it was real. I don't know.
And we can choose not to get certain identification. In Missouri, we have the option of getting or not getting real ID on our driver's license. I chose not to get it.
Right.
So now when I get, as of October, I believe it is, when I get the letter to appear for federal jury duty, I won't have to go because I can't get in the courthouse since I don't have real ID on my driver's license. I won't be able to board an airplane because I'm not going to get real ID on my driver's license. Now, I have a passport, but I'm going to choose to not use it. I'm not going to fly commercial anymore. They can keep their airplanes. I'm not going to enter a federal courthouse anymore. They can keep their federal courthouse. I choose not to participate.
Okay, what happens then when it becomes a food store, a grocery store, something that's, you consider, or utilities?
I'll hire one of my hillbilly neighbors to go to the supermarket for me. For a $10 bill, they'd be glad to do that.
All right. Well, I guess that's one way, but is that fixing the problem?
Well, I know the manager of the supermarket. He'd be glad to hand me groceries out the back door when he's off duty.
But again, is that... See, here's the thing. How's that helping our listeners? How's that helping the people? If we take this approach, and I'm not trying to be contentious with you at all. I'm asking, because if we take this approach, we're not helping anyone. We've got to say, you know what? No, and hell no. And you're not going to make me. You're not going to, because right now, in California, AB 455, I believe it is, they gutted this bill, this transportation bill, and they're putting in this everyone's got to wear a mask in order to get to wherever they want to go crap. Okay, they're doing it today. They're passing it's up in committee today. It's AB 455, I believe. It's the General Assembly. So having said that, what about our fellow listeners and viewers who were saying, well, geez, I don't have that capability or I don't want to do that. See, I'm looking at a more permanent solution. Okay, like you're not going to, you, You tell me, okay, so here, the solution I'm looking for is this, and John, you're going to have to help me with this, because here's what I'm looking for. You will never, ever, ever, ever come up to me and ask me to put a mask on or tell me that I need the jab. Okay, because there won't be anybody left of you to do that, or at least with the testosterone, temerity, or guts, or whatever you want to call it, to do that, because you're going to be deathly afraid of your immediate future when you do that. I am thinking about the people who have nothing, nobody. They're out there alone. They're afraid, and they're saying, "My God, I'm going to lose my job if I don't get the clot shot. I'm going to lose my job if I don't wear a mask." Screw the people who are saying they got to do it. And if we all stick together and say, "Screw you," no, 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 you can't. No, no, you. This is not going to happen. Then we've got something. But I could easily fake an ID and the passport, digital passport, if I had to. But I'm not going to. I'll fight my way the hell out of it, because this is a hill I choose to die on. Which if not this, what? When are you gonna? I mean, guns? Are you gonna turn in a rubber gun? You know, a Hollywood rubber gun? I mean, again, I'm not trying to be contentious. I'm just asking. When are we to fight?
That question's come up for years. Where is the line in the sand? Any attempt to cut people off from walking to a supermarket because they have to get a COVID shot, that's clearly a line in the sand. Any attempt to confiscate firearms is clearly a line in the sand. Any attempt to stop people from doing anything that they have to do to maintain life is a line in the sand that will be met with deadly force. That's what will happen, Doug. And California is certainly on the leading edge of pushing people to that point. So my question to you is, do they really care about people buying food, or do they want the violent pushback? I believe that the latter.
Okay.
The powers that be want, they're seeking the violent pushback. That's their goal. That's what these measures will be intended to do, is to get violent pushback from men and women like you and I, Doug.
Well, then the violent pushback to me. If they want it, then let's bring it to them. If that's what they really want, all right, I'm okay with that, because I'm not getting any younger. I'm getting older. Okay, my physical abilities are becoming less and less. So let's get it over with now while I still have some fight left in me. All right, because otherwise I'm going to turn it over to my children, and that's like turning over a whole boatload of debt to your kids to pay off after you're gone. So my view is, okay, we practice civil disobedience right now. And by civil disobedience, I'll toss in there what happened at the Capitol, because to me, that was civil disobedience. The only uncivil disobedience that would have happened was that moron who shot Ashley Babbitt. All right. That's so let's do it. Let's do it right. And so there will not be any further discussion of vaccine passports. There will not be any further discussion of this real ID crap. There won't be any further exfiltration of Afghani soldiers into this country without vetting by Mr. Marbles. There won't be any shipping of anything by Bill Gates and company. There won't be any other crap by Jack friggin' Dorsey, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, Telegram, Telegraph, TikTok, talk this, tick this, bite me. No, we're done. I'm done. It's over. It ain't happening. Right here. Here it is now. That's what I want. And you know what? You may say, well, that's what they want, you, because they're going to pull you in. Well, you know what? There's more of us than there are of them. We have more guns than they do. And well, but we got nukes. We got tanks. We got drones. Well, you know what? I got one friggin' word for you. Afghanistan. How's that working out for you, Millie?
Well, we learned this half a century ago with the Viet Cong, where we had barefoot teenagers called the Viet Cong defeat us. So There's nothing new about barefoot peasants in Afghanistan. No, we've had this scenario before with the barefoot teenage boys that we were chasing through the jungle in Vietnam, called the Viet Cong, bring us to a screeching halt and, in fact, defeat us. There are, you're right, Doug, there's more of us than there are them. And Americans tend to be very polite and very tolerant. And we're not seeing in New York City and Los Angeles what's happening in Paris.
That's what's happening in London. About me, by the way. I'm tolerant.
We aren't seeing that yet, but we need to. It's been more than a year ago we had the conservative Jews in New York City in the Bronx burning the masks in a Weber kettle. That needs to happen all over the country. Mask burning ceremonies in public areas. Burning of anything that's symbolic of what's been going on. Burning signs that say you must wear a mask. Whatever it takes, Doug. That's what needs to be happening all over the country. I agree with you. It needs to be happening. Maybe the words we're saying today will help stimulate people to get together in groups and set up a Weber kettle in a public park, in front of City Hall, in front of the county courthouse, to burn masks. Whatever it takes, it needs to happen, Doug.
You know, you're right, and I got to tell you, you are a polite man, and you are a you've got gravitas. You know, you're a polite guy. I'm not. All right, I'm just not. My wife, even she's, I can't. She said, "Man, are you a miserable son of a gun?" And she said that lovingly, of course, but she was right. You know, I can't even stand to live with myself sometimes. Okay?
Oh, Doug.
My dog looks at me sometimes like, wait, you okay? You know? But I'll tell you what. Speaking of okay, John, hold that thought just for 1 second. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Rumble, Brighteon, all the platforms all across the globe. We've got, I think, 186 countries tuning in, and we want to welcome everybody, even the men and women behind enemy lines in Afghanistan or in Australia. Same thing almost at this point, given the type of leadership. I just want to say hello to my great sponsor, Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagmann. You know, look, we have to get ready for things that are coming, okay? Have you ever looked at your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate? Have you done that? All right. I applied, seriously, here's what I did. I applied for a credit card at a store because it gave me money off, and I got a good credit score. I really do. So I got the statement, and I had, like, the pucker factor went through the roof when I looked at my state interest. I was paying, like, I would have been paying a whole bunch of, it was crazy. Eric the Tech was with me, all right? And it was like 18.99 or something. It was some incredible interest rate. And that's with good credit. But if you've looked at your credit card statements and been shocked by the interest rate, did you know that you can actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? Well, you can. Lower your interest rate right now and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 5.93% APR with auto pay and excellent credit, plus the rate is fixed, so it's never going to go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. No fees, none, zero fees. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And this is just for my listeners. My listeners only. Apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagmann. This is important, so let me spell it out for you. It is LightStream.com, lightstream.com/Hagmann. HAGMANN. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR, including a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagmann for more information. You will thank me later. You will be glad you did this, even in this tumultuous time of weather events like, my goodness, the hurricane down south and Louisiana, Hurricane Ida. I mean, oh my goodness, pray for those people. But you know what? We still need to take care of business. Lightstream.com/Hagmann. So thank you very much. And John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That is John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Go there for He's got a great show, by the way. Today, Sam Andrews was on. What a phenomenal show he's got. Again, thelibertyman.com. You can listen to his 3 hours of radio. And, you can click on that, folks, look on your screen right there. You can click on that banner. You can drill down and get the archives as well. That's, the web presence of John Moore. And if you scroll down, you'll get all of the good deals he's got. Plus, he's got some great news items there. But the deals he's got, just fantastic, and some personal twists to a lot of things. So that's thelibertyman.com. John, thanks for being with me. Thanks for holding through the late top of the hour break, but thanks for doing that. All right. I'm going to toss this out at you, okay? And tell me about this. I know that we're kind of covering a lot of things here. I'm going to toss this out. And I don't think I pumped Eric up or let Eric know about this. The clip B, the one that we missed, instead of played clip C instead. Can we play clip B? And John, you were talking about this earlier in the show. This is, again, Sharia supremacy is the natural threat, or is the new threat we face, by Frank Gaffney. I want to go back to that, revisit that, and then we can move on from there. Go ahead and play this clip.
The thing that might prove wrong, Steve, is that this is going to be many more fronts to this war than the two flanks you've talked about. I think those are for sure. And listen, thank you for the attaboy. My role in this has simply been to try to help advance insights and information that I've learned from a whole cast of characters.
You've been like John the Baptist, man. Well, calling out in the wilderness.
Caught a few spears. It's true. But the point, Steve, is that what worries me as much as what you've said, which is bad enough, specifically the idea that we have allowed, in fact, enabled the metastasizing of this threat from what I call Sharia supremacism, is we still don't really understand that that is the threat. Look at what's going on as we speak with people talking about, well, there's a new, kinder, gentler Taliban that we're dealing with here. Or, Taliban doesn't have anything to do with ISIS-K. Or with Al-Qaeda. This is rubbish, folks. These are people who have one thing in common. And by the way, they have it in common with the mullahs of Iran as well.
Oh, it's all part. Yeah.
And that is Sharia. They have their differences and they have their, you know, fractious moments, and they will go at it with each other. But for the moment, we are the common enemy. We're the infidel. We are the impediment to the realization of, yes, what they believe is Allah's grand design, which is the triumph of Islam worldwide. And they will do everything they possibly can to bring about that end state. And what that means, Steve, and we'll be talking about it in the course of this excellent program today, is they're going to use the war there, the war that they can engineer beyond, with Sharia supremacist elements that are now all over the world, Latin America, Africa, Europe, Asia, of course. But they're going to make common cause with the Chinese Communist Party.
Big time.
They're going to make common cause
to destroy the Judeo-Christian
with the Russians. Yes, yes. They're going to make common cause with
to control the Eurasian landmass.
The bad guys in Latin America. Right. You can bet that it will be all against us.
Yes.
And that's what makes, I think, this multi-front global conflict,
but we're in
a distinct prospect, and I think in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah. You know, I can't help but think how well that would have fit when it was when we were talking about it, how well that would have flowed. But I guess it was my mistake on that, but nonetheless. You know, he makes a lot of sense there, doesn't he? And the Christian conservatives are in the crosshairs. Yeah,
he does.
Yeah.
Well, there's a cooperative effort between Islam and communism to achieve mutual goals. I'm not sure what the end game is, other than the Chinese end game is to occupy the United States of America, the lower 48, with no Americans. That is a stated goal, and that's the top Chinese defense minister said so in his speech. That's on the free download at my website. People can watch.
That's read the thelibertyman.com. That's right.
Yeah. It's the text of the speech. It's not a video or audio recording, which would be pretty useless, obviously, since he's speaking Mandarin Chinese. But we don't need to know the nuances. We don't need to know the details. What we need to know is the overall plan, which is jihad, conquering the United States. How they're going to split up the spoils, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I even care. What I want to know for my purposes is what is their overall goals and how do they intend to achieve those goals. This has been in the works since 1917, Doug.
Yes.
The International Communist Conspiracy.
Yeah. Sounds like 1913, right. But yeah.
Well, you can go back even to Karl Marx, which goes back another, right. Many, many decades. Right. But that's really not relevant to our discussion. What's relevant to our discussion is the plan. The plan is to destroy the United States, to conquer the United States, to have the United States colonized with no Americans. There's even some dispute about whether they being the Chinese Communist Party, will allow ethnic Chinese to survive because they fear the ethnic Chinese living in America, in the United States, have become Americanized, which of course they have, especially the ones born here, or the ones who escaped Communist China. The wife of a very dear friend of mine, she grew up in Communist China. Her family was brutalized by the Communist Chinese. She hates the Communist Chinese. Would she be allowed to survive? Probably not.
Yeah, and, very nicely. And we need to make a distinction, and I'm glad you brought this up, because look, we need to make the distinction. We're not talking about Chinese people. We're talking about the Chinese Communist Party, which is a very important distinction. Don't go down to your local, Chinese restaurant and spit in the food. Okay? No. No, it is. It's the sleeper cells. It's the Communist Chinese Party, and you know, but to that extent too. Where in the hell is the information about Eric Swallowswell? Okay, and Feng Shui. Or Ma Fang, or whatever, Fang Hua, or what is her name? You know who I'm talking about, right? Fang Fang.
Right.
Yeah, he's still on the House Intelligence Committee.
Well, talking about letting the fox into the hen house, my goodness, that's about as bad as it gets. We hear persistent stories about white hats in the military, white hats in the intelligence community who are doing the right thing for the right reasons. I truly hope that they are, Doug. I truly hope they are.
The colonel I believe it was a colonel, and I could be mistaken, that was just that made a video about Afghanistan and said, look, we knew this was coming and you did this wrong, and criticized the brass, the military brass. I think he was a Marine, I'm not sure. But he was dishonorably discharged, I believe it was dishonorably, for the video he put out. What, you're not allowed to have a flippant opinion anymore? I mean, look, I understand the need for cohesiveness in the military, but I understand the need for patriots as well. And I think that the latter is more important than the former. That's all I'm saying. So go ahead.
Well, Doug, the Republic is truly in peril. It's not a flippant statement. It is a true statement. The Republic is in peril. We have President Trump giving speeches as if he's a candidate. I've been watching presidents leave the Oval Office since many decades, more than half a century. When presidents leave office, they don't fill up stadiums full of people and give speeches to them. They simply don't do that. That's the actions of a candidate. A lot of speculation about what office he will run for, but no doubt in my mind, President Trump intends to run for office of some kind. If not president, then obviously U.S. Senate or U.S. House of Representatives. A lot of speculation there as to what he would do if he was elected. He would become the Speaker of the House. Clearly he would. A very powerful position that would make good use of his abilities if he chose to do that.
You know, but see, okay. We can't. Okay, so this brings me back to what I always say. We cannot let.
We can't wait for President Trump to do something. Is that what you're trying to say,
No,
Doug?
Actually, no. That's not what I'm trying to say, but thanks for
Go ahead.
Thanks for your effort.
Okay.
No, they connected again. Okay. So we can't get, and I'm sorry, this is not funny. We must not go past November 3rd. We must hold, God bless you. Did you hear that? Could you hear that?
Barely.
That sneeze? That's my wife working in the office.
Okay.
God bless her. But we have to hold the people from November 3rd accountable. And that includes Mark Zuckerberg. That includes Dorsey. That includes the mainstream media. That includes all of these, dimwits, like, in my view, dimwits, because I have to say that, so I don't want to get sued. Because in my view, dimwits. What was it, Ruby and her daughter in Fulton County, and the secretaries of state, I think I pronounced that correctly, or stated that correctly, in the different states. We cannot pass go at this point. We have to go back to November 3rd and hold the Arizona audit. The papers are going to come out, or the results are going to come out, and they're going to be astounding. But so what? But see, we cannot allow this election to stand. We allowed it under the illegitimate Sotoro regime. We can't allow it under this Mr. Marbles BS. We can't allow this. We can't allow this. So we have to go back to November 3rd. And even before that, we've got to go back to Strzok, Page, and Mueller, and Comey, and Brennan, and we have to hold them accountable. We've got to hold, but see, time is not on our side, brother.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. Everything you're saying is true. Everything you wanted to accomplish needs to be accomplished. However, as long as the Oval Office is under control of a socialist, communist, Democrat, Muslim, Joe Biden in particular, those things can't happen because all those things have to take place under the auspices of the Department of Justice, which is an executive branch agency, unfortunately.
So okay, then help me with this. And again, I don't mean to dominate this. I guess I had too much coffee today, but so help me with this. If my house, if I'm gone for, I don't know, I went go down visiting my money in the Cayman Islands for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and I come home, and my house is full of squatters, people that shouldn't be there. All right. Now, am I going to just, like, go to a hotel and complain and call the police, and the police will say, oh, it's a civil matter? Now, I've heard that so many times. I want to, next cop that tells me it's a civil matter is going to, you're going to hear from me. Okay. Anyway. Or am I going to grab my neighbors, my friends, and say, you know what? I got a problem. We have a problem, actually, because my problem is not your problem. The reason it's your problem is because I'm going to make it your problem. My house is occupied by squatters, by people who shouldn't be there. Okay? And so here's what we're going to do. You take the 9, you take the Uzi, you take the, you know, you take the Ruger Creedmoor 6.5, you take the AR, and you take the AK platform. And we're going to go take our house back, my house back. See, okay, in my mind, not look, I understand what I'm saying here could be very, very much construed like insurrection, definitely insurrection. But in my mind, this is where I'm liking it to that situation where our house has been overtaken, overrun by people who shouldn't be there. Now, again, I'm not suggesting we go in there with guns, but I'm just comparing it to a situation that I can relate to in my pea brain here, where, you know, boy, I got squatters in my house. I got to get them out. And the cops won't do anything. They're saying, hey, you know what? You might have rented it to them. And it might have been a fair deal. Does that even make sense to you? You know what I'm saying? So given the republic as it is, how do we fix this? That's my question, because I know how I'd fix it personally. And I can't do that. You know, we can't do that. I don't think we can. Can we? Can we do that?
Well, Doug, something that needs to be looked into. very dear friend of mine. He made some careful observations, and I've had other people confirm this. I have not done it myself. That at the inauguration of President Biden, two things were pointed out to me, actually three things. One was the on the platform of the inauguration was the communist Chinese head of security, internal security, on the platform with Joe Biden being sworn in. And that the artillery salute for the new president was not given. They gave the artillery salute for a visiting dignitary when they fire off the 105-millimeter howitzers. That would be the U.S. Army, of course. In addition, and this was pretty widely reported, the presidential motorcade, many of the troops on duty turned their backs when the new president was passing by with a presidential
Okay, let's walk through this because to me this is important. Now, these observations are important. So we had a basically a spy standing next to the Mr. Marvels. I'm not going to go any further than that, right? So we had a spy basically there, a controller, if you will, right, during the inauguration.
I wouldn't use the word spy. A handler might handler. Be more. I would use. I like that word handler.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now hold that phone. All right. Hold on. Hang on. All right. So then the salute, a visiting dignitary. So that would imply, infer, whichever is a proper use, that the military knows that Biden marvels and heals up. They're illegitimate, right? Would that not?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Hold that thought. Okay, let's follow this through. And then during the motorcade, you had the soldiers turn around out of defiance because they knew that this guy is not legitimate and probably right. a puppet of a communist country. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Then where in the hell are the people in the military to take over? Instead of turning around, they should have turned toward the car with the weapons, stopped the car, got them out, and arrested them and sent them to Guantanamo. Why didn't they do that?
Well, I wish I could answer that, Doug, but I don't have an answer. What I was told by one of my private sources is that President Trump was ready to take action. And he was, and his people were advised to stand down.
Well, his advisors suck. I'm telling you, if he was advised to stand down, that sucks. Because so let me get this straight. So when I go to the Cayman Islands to visit my money, my vast amounts of wealth and all that stuff down there, and I come back and there's a squatter in my house, and actually worse than a squatter, they're bad people. All right, they're going to burn my neighborhood down, burn my city down. Okay. So I just flip them the keys then and say, hey, I'm going back to Caymans to visit my great wealth, or I'm going to go to my golf course and play a few rounds. And, so I flip them the keys. That's the equivalent of what the hell happened. Except you've got some patriots, though, on the 6th who went out and says, no, we can't let this happen. And where's the backup for the people on the 6th? We got 450 some people still in friggin' solitary. They are political prisoners. Who in the hell is helping them? Where are the attorneys? Are there any attorneys out there? Are there any friggin' patriotic attorneys left? And oh gosh, the Department of Justice. We got to clear them out, root them out, rooter them out. You know what I'm saying? It's help me here, brother. Help me. You're a nice guy.
The Department of Justice, the FBI, is a criminal cabal, and they have been for decades. Unfortunately, we can't count on them to do the right thing for the right reason. You and I grew up watching Ephraim Zimlis Jr. Pretend to be an FBI agent, jumping into his Mustang in front of the FBI headquarters to go smash crime. That's not reality. Reality.
Yes. And by the way, Hoover, there's a lot of stories made up about Hoover by communists. Hoover ran a pretty tight agency. I just have to say that. Okay. I don't know what his veteran proclivities were. I don't care, but he ran a pretty tight agency and he was anti-communist, but go ahead, sir.
Well, I agree. J. Edgar Hoover was very anti-communist, and he did his best that he could to protect the U.S. United States from the international communist conspiracy.
I mean, brother, you are the nicest, and I got to tell you this, and I'm not blowing smoke up your butt, okay? You are a class act. You, as opposed to me, where I just go, you know, it's ugly when I just go off like this, but and it's incoherent at you know, mostly incoherent, whereas you are pretty, you know, level-headed and one.
I'm known to keep my, when maybe it's a consequence of being shot at more than 12 times a day in Vietnam. I thought it was kind of something I should do when I'm being shot at, to count how many times in a day I was shot. But after about the third or fourth day of the Tet Offensive, I reached a conclusion there's no point in counting how many times I was shot at anymore. So I have a reputation for being calm under fire. That's a well-deserved reputation. I don't lose it very easily, Doug. Not at all.
I was only shot at twice. Okay, so you got me by thousands.
Thousands.
Can't even keep it. So, but you're very, you color within the lines. To me, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I'm done being nice. I'm done coloring within the lines. I'm done playing by the rules, because there are no rules. There are rules for them, not for me.
Persona that represents your persona is done covertly. So I maintain this public persona that you and your listeners are seeing, but there's another side of John Moore. That's the covert side. And people don't see that. The government doesn't see it. Nobody sees it.
Yeah. No, and I know that of you, by reputation, and of course by knowing you, I know that. Me, I'm just, give me a shotgun as opposed to a sniper rifle, and I'll take care of things. Eric and I talk about this all the time.
A week ago yesterday, I'm going to hold up my target. I had several of these, and nobody else with me wanted to shoot my 100-yard target, which is 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch.
wait a second. It's 100 yards?
At 100 yards.
I can't even see it from 5 feet here. Okay. All right.
So when I shoot a target from 100 yards, my target is 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch, which is also within the community of people who shoot precision rifles, one quarter minute of angle. 1 minute of angle is 1 inch by 1 inch. 1/4 minute of angle is 1/2 by 1/2 inch. 1/4 that target. Now, if you spend $2,000 or $3,000 on a new rifle, they'll guarantee 1 minute of angle accuracy. Well, it's not acceptable to me, Doug. I'm satisfied only with 1/4 inch angle of minute of angle accuracy. Otherwise, what's the point?
So now hold on, okay? And I'm going to ask this. What are you waiting for? I'm not going to say the obvious. Then what are people, maybe not you, okay, forget you for a second, although that's really good. That's really good. I couldn't hit that, you know, 5 feet. Again, that's why I use a shotgun, and it all hits.
It takes training and equipment. It takes both.
So
a lot of training, a lot of practice, a lot of equipment.
But we have so many PO'd people out there, and after this last week where you've got 13 of our youngest, bravest people coming home in body bags because of we got about a minute, that's it. Okay, so in the last 30 seconds, what are people waiting for?
They're waiting for somebody to get in their face is what they're waiting for, somebody to pose a direct threat to them and their families. People aren't going to take action until that happens, Doug.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Penny, you got your answer. April, my neighbor up here, April, God bless you. Thank you so much. And John Moore, thelibertyman.com. What a class act, and what a deadly, deadly sniper. Oh, boy.
I'm going for more training with Sam Andrews in about a month or so, towards the end of September.
Freedom Center Last USA.
And Freedom Center USA.
Yeah, folks, yep. Bookmark thelibertyman.com. John, thanks for putting up with me today.
Thank you, Doug.
I'm out of
sorts.
We'll
do it next Monday.
Yeah. All right, brother. Take care. All right. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making this one of the most popular broadcasts, podcasts on the planet. May God bless. Good night.